my God. No.
Amen.
Hallelujah,
amen.
Jesus. Praise you, God.
You have your Bibles. Go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7. Amen. And we're just going to read verses 14 through 16. Thank you, Jesus. And I know...
There are actual Bibles up there if you guys want.
Not here last week. You may not catch this right away, but we'll try to bring it in for you. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to ask the young people to just read that for me, if you can. Romans chapter 7, verse 14, 15, and 16. Amen. Go ahead.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, solid under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not.
Yes.
But what I hate, that do I.
Yes.
If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good.
Mm-hmm.
Now that...
What? Is that yet 16?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask First Lady to pray God speaks to us again today in this word. Thank
Father
you, Jesus.
God, we thank you for the courage to face such a task, to conquer the conflict.
My God.
We know, Lord God Almighty, that we're in war.
Yes, Jesus.
This means war.
Jesus.
And we're saying to the enemy, you cannot have my family.
Can't have my family.
You cannot have my home.
Can't have my
you cannot
home.
Have me.
Yes.
And so, Lord God,
can't
we come.
Yes.
You cannot have my increase.
Jesus.
And so, Lord, we come this morning.
Thank you,
and it's real, Lord God. We feel the realness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah in the
Jesus.
Service today. And
thank
we thank you,
you
that you're here in the midst, Lord. Amen. And I pray a special anointing
yes,
upon
Lord.
Your son. Your word is already anointed.
Jesus.
So, God, anoint the vessel that shall bring this word to us today,
thank
straight
you,
to our hearts, because Lord, you heard the testimony.
Yes,
our desire is to please you, because we're well aware of the mandate that's upon our lives.
Yes,
we're aware, Lord God, of the mantle that you've put on us, and we bless your
thank
name
you,
right
Jesus.
Now, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name.
Jesus
amen.
Name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to somebody before you see this and help me conquer.
Help me conquer.
Help me conquer.
Help me conquer.
Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you. Let me see the hands of those that you don't yet have the Holy Ghost. Just raise your hand for me. You don't yet have the Holy Ghost. Never. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So I see that one hand to me. Okay, receiving the Holy Ghost means to receive Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've spoken in tongues. The Spirit of God gives you the utterance. Amen. See you. Praise God. All right, so we have some empty vessels here with us today, and I trust before the service is over. You know, that's one thing, you don't have it. The next question is, do you want it?
Yeah.
Amen. Because not everybody wants the Holy Ghost because
mm-hmm.
they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand what it's for or what it does or why is it so important
mm-hmm.
For your life. But hopefully, again, before the service is over, we can impart that need into your heart today. Amen. So as we read from Romans chapter 7, 14 through 16, we see a progression of struggle here in the life of the Apostle Paul. What the Apostle here is doing is he's showing us a real problem. which is the source of a spiritual struggle. And it's not a spiritual struggle of just people in the pews. It's a struggle for every Christian believer, whether pastor, prophet, priest, or bishop. Mm-hmm. Every Christian believer struggles with this mm-hmm. problem. Mm-hmm. It's called the power of sin. Some people think sin is just an act. It's a sin is a parasite.
Yeah.
It is a spirit that is very powerful. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, we've put our focus on the devil. We put our focus on externalities. You know, you made me do it. You're the reason why I'm like this. Or you're the reason why I said that. But the real issue is sin. And it comes with a tremendous amount of power. And it's almost as if something, you know, I mean, it's like you're a part of your human makeup, part of your DNA, it's a part of your genes. And as much as you try to do what you do to do best for your body or your mind or your spirit, there's certain things that's going to take effect in you because of your forefathers or whatever disease they had, you're going to get it. Just the way it is. Unless, amen, something is done about it.
Yeah.
Amen. So Paul begins by stating that the problem is not with the law of God, but with his own flesh. He then goes on to show that the real culprit is sin and not the flesh. Mm-hmm. Right? The flesh is being used by sin. Yes. Turn to somebody and say, sin is evil.
Sin is evil.
And the flesh is weak.
And the flesh is weak.
Now you need to register in that in your cerebellum. You need to register that in your brain. You need to get
sin
that.
Evil,
amen. That sin is evil and the flesh is weak. When Joseph was tempted to sleep with Potiphar's wife, he said, "How can I do this great wickedness?" He didn't see it as, oh, it's just fornication. Oh, it's just adultery. No, he saw it as great wickedness. Yes. Sin is evil, yes. And our flesh is weak.
Yes.
In our text, Paul is describing his own personal struggle with sin. And he's giving the most dramatic testimony of this struggle. Okay. Amen. And we have little difficulty believing that we struggle with sin. We have a little problem thinking that we really have a struggle with sin.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
But we do struggle with sin. We do struggle.
Yes, we do.
I don't care what degree you have in ministry. We struggle with sin.
Mm-hmm.
It is a misconception, as our theology should remind us and as Paul's word instructs us. Paul's struggle is a deeply personal struggle with sin and with his own flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Like my wife said, it is a war.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a war within.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It is a war which results from conversion. Before you were converted, there was no war. You were just yielded.
Right. Yeah.
Right? You weren't fighting nothing.
Yes. Fighting a thing.
You were yielded to it. You just did whatever it said.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Get up, fornicate, drink, smoke. Do a little dope, but now you're hooked on the Holy Ghost. Amen. So there's a war within which results from your conversion.
Yeah.
You didn't even know there was a devil until you got converted. So, whoa, he's real.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you were running with the devil. You just felt like a buddy. He's a buddy, old pal.
Mm.
Right? He's making everything work for you and so forth. But now you're against him.
Yes.
You realize he's real.
Yes.
Mm. It did not exist until we became saved.
Yes.
Now, Paul is not able to understand or to precisely analyze his own struggle with sin. He cannot give you the psychological step-by-step process of what he's going through.
Mm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. There was a book written by Don Baker about depression. And he describes in his own deep depression his hospitalization and recovery from what we would call a nervous breakdown.
Mm.
But Baker had no quick and easy explanation either for his breakdown or for his recovery. Okay? It's not easy to explain why you're so depressed.
My God.
Why are you feeling so oppressed? Why are you down today? David said, you know, my heart is overwhelmed. And this is David. This is the anointed king of Israel. And he's saying, when my heart is overwhelmed, you got overwhelmed, David? Yes. My heart is overwhelmed. Saul's after me. Absalom, my son, is betraying me. Yes, my heart is overwhelmed. And when my heart is overwhelmed, there's only one place I can go. I can't analyze why my heart's overwhelmed. I can't tell you the details. I can't tell you the process of how I got here. Yes, I'm not on the throne, but I'm still.
Oh, my God.
Struggling.
My God. Lead me.
Depression.
Lead me. My God.
We don't have quick and easy answers. Stop probing into people's lives, trying to figure out, how in the world did you get here? We don't have an answer. We just know we're struggling within.
Yes.
There's a conflict. There's a fight going on.
Yes.
I was doing all right yesterday, but I got up this morning and this oppression
came
on.
My God.
Amen. So Paul tells his reader that he does not understand what he's doing.
What I
don't understand what I'm doing. I don't understand this evil. I don't understand why I'm hating you today. You tend to think of Paul as the man with all the answers. Hey, this is the Apostle Paul, man. He's running with the gospel, man. He's winning souls. But Paul is struggling within.
My God.
If anyone can give us a better understanding of sin and of the struggle within, it would be Paul, because he was not afraid to talk about it.
Right.
You can't get pastors to talk about this struggle. They won't tell you. Amen. They come up and they look good in their suits and they're whooping and hollering down the pulpit. They won't tell you about this struggle. But they're struggling. Amen.
Yeah.
So thank God for the apostles' openness. And
thank
you all today for your openness.
Yes.
Let's be open.
Yes.
That's the only way we can get help.
Yes.
Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Turn to somebody and say, sin cannot be understood.
Sin cannot be understood.
No matter how much you put it under a microscope and bring all the scientists, all the physicists
God.
And chemists and all the biologists and try to, you cannot analyze sin. You cannot understand its power. You cannot understand how it operates, how it functions, how it flows. We don't have reasons. We don't have good reasons for our sin. We're trying to go, well, I did it because. No, you don't have a reason.
My God.
It came upon you.
Yes.
Bible says a devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. As another scripture says, sin lieth
at the door
waiting to pounce upon you. It is irrational.
Yes.
Everything we do in sin is irrational. There is no rationality to the act of sin. When somebody cuts somebody's head off, there's no rationality to it. When a man rapes a child, there's no rationality to it. Amen. Sin has no rationale to it.
My God.
When somebody just comes out of nowhere and cusses you out, gives you the finger, there is no rationality to it.
My God.
When your boss fires you, amen, you didn't do nothing wrong, there's no rationality to it. People have prejudices. Why? There's no rationality to it. They say it's the color of your skin, but when you check it out, it's something else.
Yes, I am.
They just don't like you because you're short, or you're too tall, or you're too fat, or you're too white, or you're too black. There's no rational, no explanation. It's sin reigning in a mortal body.
Yes.
So Paul is not trying to supply us with the solution to his problem. Simply describing the immensity of the problem of sin and the intensity of the struggle with it. We've got to understand that, because if we don't, then we're always going to be playing with sin.
Yes. Come on.
We're always going to think it's just a game. And so we can get away with it today, so we'll try it again tomorrow. But all it's doing is putting a stronghold. It's like that what's the name of that snake? That wraps itself around you.
Anaconda.
They wrap themselves around you and choke. Or the boa constrictor. That's the one I was thinking of. They wrap themselves around you and suck the life out of you first.
Yeah.
And then they eat you. Okay? That's sin. It wraps itself. You don't think, you feel comfortable because it's right. You're feeling warm. I feel good. Mm. You know? Mm.
My God.
It's, it don't just bite you and make you run away. Mm-mm. It just curls around you while you're sleeping. Mm. Sin is taking hold. Mm. And then it takes its bite out of your life.
My God.
The solution to the Christian struggle with sin is, of course, the answer is in Romans 8.
Yes. Yes.
But we're not going to jump to Romans 8 because we have to understand the struggle.
Yeah.
That's what's being described here in Romans 7. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why it's still ringing again. Turned down.
While we are eager to hear God's solution, we must first be convinced of the seriousness of the problem.
Yeah.
Before an alcoholic goes to get help, he's got to understand the seriousness
of
the problem.
Yes. Yes.
If he doesn't know that it's seriously eating away at his kidneys or his liver or his brain cells are being chewed up, he don't care.
Right, right.
Just hit me up another one.
You have a pleasure on it.
He's not convinced until he is convinced.
Yes.
Till one day he wakes up and he's thrown up and can't stop. Mm-hmm. Mm. He's not convinced.
My God.
And drastic situations require drastic measures,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I want you to know that sin is a drastic measure.
Yes.
So Paul says the law is what? Spiritual.
Yes.
But I am flesh.
Yes, that's what he said. Yes.
Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual.
I'm carnal.
But I am of flesh.
Yes.
Sold into bondage to sin. Mm-hmm. My God, we're sold into bondage to sin. Why did you do that? Oh, no. One time I got into a fight with a guy. And I'm punching him. And then I stopped. And I was like, why did I do that? You feel dirty. You feel messed up after you do it. And that's what has happened to a lot of people. They go around. They shoot people. And then they realize what they've done. So then they shoot themselves.
Yes.
Sin got a hold. So for that which I'm doing, I don't understand it. For I'm not practicing what I would like to do. I'm doing the very thing I hate.
Yeah.
But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good.
My God.
Don't rule the law out.
Right.
It's good.
Yes.
It's there to put a restraint on it. It's there to remind you that it's not all right.
Right.
It's not all right for you to lie. It's not all right for you to steal. It's not all right for you to cuss. It's not all right. Mm. The law is there to remind us.
Yes. Right. Amen.
And so he says the law is holy. Mm-hmm. It's righteous and it's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Folks, the law is spiritual. It is not carnal. Yeah. That's what some religious society like to make us think, that the law is something carnal. No, it's spiritual. The reason why we see it as carnal is because we're flesh.
Yes.
And it's putting restrictions on the flesh. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go here. I can't go there. And we just see it as just this natural thing, but it's a spiritual
thing.
Yes,
yes, yes, yes. My God.
And so he said the law is not the problem. The law is spiritual. How can something spiritual be a problem? Mm. He says, I am carnal.
Yeah.
I'm the one with the struggle. Amen.
Yeah.
So the law is spiritual. Let's define the law as spiritual. The law has already been shown to be holy, righteous, and good. Mm-hmm. And Paul tells us something more. The law is spiritual. Just how is the law spiritual? How does being spiritual differ from being holy, righteous, and good? Mm. To understand and agree with Paul's words, we must take several important matters into account. First, Paul is speaking specifically of the law of Moses.
Yeah.
Not just law in general. He's not talking about the law that's set up somewhere in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
He's not talking about Supreme Court law. He's talking about the law of Moses.
Yes. Yes.
Number two, as such, the law of Moses was given what? How did Moses get the law? Did it come by way of him just, I got an idea. I'm going to keep these people in line, so I'm going to write this one down. Thou shalt not steal. Y'all been stealing my stuff, so I'm going to write that law down. No. How did he come about this law? It's spiritual because God gave it to him.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
God is the author of the law.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if we respect God and honor God, we'll honor his laws.
Yes.
Amen. We're not going to say, well, no, I got the Holy Ghost, again, such there is no law. Hey.
Oh, my.
That's why that's the confession of a lot of people. I don't have to deal with the law no more. I got the Holy Ghost.
Oh my.
Well, who's the Holy Ghost? Is Christ in you? Is this God in you?
Yes.
So how are you going to disrespect the law and respect the God that gave the law? That don't make sense.
My God.
So the law is spiritual. Yes. It's given to Moses. And the law is also scripture. Inspired by God. Right? And it is profitable.
Yeah.
Glory to God. 2 Timothy 3. Yeah. What's it profitable for? Teaching?
Yes.
For reproof?
Rebuke.
See, we've gotten to this place where we just want to be preached up happy.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to hear about the blessings and the victory and the overcoming. But nobody wants reproof anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be corrected anymore. Mm-hmm. Nobody really wants to be taught anymore. Just get me in, get me out, package good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for the road. But we got to teach you.
Yes.
We can't always preach at you. We got to teach you. We got to take our time and get understanding.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And then the reproof and the correction is for training in righteousness.
Yes, God.
Amen.
Amen.
We're being brought up in righteousness.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Right living.
Yes.
Right living. Yes. We don't want to go through this world and just live aimlessly, chaotically. Can you imagine if in the morning you decided, well, you're going to have dinner, not breakfast. And at lunchtime, you're going to have breakfast and not lunch. We do that sometimes. But after a while, your body's going to reject all that stuff. Body's going to get confused.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand people getting up, and I don't know if I'm not stepping on anybody's toes today, but you get up and you're drinking Coke for breakfast. Coca-Cola. Not Pepsi. All that stuff.
Yes.
What are you doing to your body? Your body's been, you got all gas through the night, 8 hours of gas, and you adding gas on top of gas? Well, you might as well go work for a mobile station. Give out some. That's a lot of gas.
My Lord.
Living chaotically. Somebody said if you stranded on an island, what's the first thing you want to do? Some people say, oh, go get some food. No. Need some rules.
Yes, yes.
Because if you get the food, somebody's going to steal it from you because you didn't have any rules.
Yes.
About thou shalt not steal.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Yes.
You got to have laws set up.
Yes, yes.
So the law defines, not only defines, but it reveals sin. Can you imagine you're doing things you don't realize? How many of you have done things and don't even realize it's sin?
Oh, yeah.
Done things that I didn't know it was sin. Nobody told me this was sin.
Mm.
Well, the law is there to let you know what it is.
Yes.
Right? The law is there to define it and also to reveal unto you that is sin. You know what's sad about our world and our church world today is it's not being defined clearly.
Yes.
Good is being called evil and evil is being called good.
Yes.
Right there in the church, right behind the pulpits.
Yes.
It's all right. You don't even got to worry about that. Just come to church, pay your tithe, and we good.
Mm.
No. I'll take your money. I don't care if you go to hell.
My God.
Sad.
Wow.
No definition for people. We don't know.
My God.
Let it be defined in the Old Testament. It's constant. Don't just sound a trumpet, make it a certain sound.
Yes.
Because they had trumpets for everything, every feast. Sometimes it was for war. And if it wasn't certain, we didn't know if we were going to fight war or have a feast.
Mm-hmm. That's right. A certain sound. Thank you, Jesus.
The law shows us who are sinners too.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to guess. Nowadays it's like, you sinner or saint? It used to be easy to pick out a Christian out of the crowd. Now you gotta be like, you gotta look for a while, and then maybe you might pick up something.
Jesus,
there's no certainty anymore.
My God,
we don't even know who is men and who is women anymore.
Right. My God, my God,
it's uncertain. Are you? What are you? Should I call you Mary or Max?
Jesus, that's the truth. That's the truth.
But the law is there. The law is there. Thank God for the law. It's good.
Thank you, God.
It brings us on a divine condemnation. Yes, and it's in need of a righteousness, not our own. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
My God.
The law reveals the character of God to men.
Yes.
So we can understand, okay, God, I'm missing the mark here. Mm. Help me.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Bring it back in.
It also anticipates and bears witness to the righteousness of God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And we talked about that righteousness sometime past week, of how God has provided that righteousness for us. Because he knew we were going to struggle.
Yes.
He knew that even after we got the Holy Ghost, amen, we're going to struggle. Mm-hmm. I used to think, man, you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to walk straight as a pencil. Mm. You're going to get the Holy Ghost and you'll never lie again. You'll never do anything wrong. And then 2 days later, you're messing up. I've seen people get the Holy Ghost and walk out.
My
never
God.
Came back.
Jesus, yes, we've seen it. Yes. Yeah.
Why?
Yes.
Because they didn't give time to the struggle. Mm. And they allow themselves to be overcome by the struggle.
Yes.
Thank God for the law. It reveals the character of God to man. Mm-hmm. We get to see God clearer, mm-hmm. and so we feel inadequate, and so we depend more on his righteousness.
Yes.
It bears witness to how righteous God is and how unholy we really are. And as you said, my brother, we need God more than he even needs us.
Yes.
But Jesus Christ,
hallelujah.
Amen, because he came
hallelujah.
And showed us hallelujah, just
Jesus.
How much we need
God. Yes, we need him.
It defines sin and determines its penalty so that anybody that breaks the law can understand their punishment. Mm. You're not going to stand before God and argue with him on judgment day.
Mm-mm.
You're not going to be able to say, but no, you're going to understand it.
Yeah.
Because the law will be there, the books will be open, and you're going to say, oh, yeah,
I
deserve that. Mm. One person said he had a near-death experience, went to hell, and he says in his mind, you don't question. Mm. You knew exactly where you're supposed to go.
Mm.
You don't want to go, but you knew you didn't have any case.
My God.
You didn't have any defense. The jury was not in your favor.
My God.
So far, more than being a mere set of rules, the law is suggestive, giving those who see God much fuel for meditation, mm-hmm. prayer, and praise. Mm-hmm. It suggests to us to give God the praise. It suggests to us, amen, to pray, because we can't do it by ourselves. We'll never understand the true law without divine illumination.
Yeah.
We ask God to show us the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway. We need that, amen, to understand, to see clearly why the books, why the scriptures, why the word of God, why the law, why couldn't the preacher just preach politics, why couldn't he just preach Scientology, why don't he just preach finances, why does he got to preach the word of God, because that's the only thing that will combat sin.
That word.
The law is spiritual.
Hallelujah.
It requires the spirit to interpret the things that are spiritual. The law is concerned about your heart.
Yes.
It's concerned about your spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And the law will turn men from trusting in themselves and point us to God.
Yes.
In whom alone we must trust
and
worship.
Yes.
We must trust and worship.
Yes. God.
That's why when we come into the house of God, we can't just sit back and cruise. Mm. Gotta worship.
Yes. God,
if you understand that there's a judgment waiting for you,
if I don't
get engaged and get activated in the house of God, chances are my week's gonna be rotten.
Yes, my God. Oh,
Jesus. Amen. Yes, Jesus. Chances are I'm going to be in a struggle. Chances are, amen, where my $10 would have stretched for the whole week is only going to last till Monday morning.
My God. Oh.
Because I didn't allow God's law to instruct me in worship. I don't come into the house of God and play with worship and praise to his name. Mm. Because I want God on my side.
Hallelujah.
I want God to
Hallelujah.
Work for me.
Hallelujah.
I want God to be opening
Hallelujah.
Doors for me. So if
Jesus.
You don't give up, how do you expect it to come down?
Oh, my God.
Amen, yes, somebody. God. We don't give nothing in the bank. Yes. Amen. There's no withdrawal note.
Yes. Praises up. Blessings come down. My God.
You go show up at the ATM, Jesus. Pushing your card in, expecting to withdraw. Mm. You got a zero balance.
Jesus. My God.
Amen. We come to God's bank account. We got zero balance.
Oh,
we're like,
God.
Oh, God, give me a blessing today. I need a miracle. Shut up. Wait till next Sunday. See if you can do better. Or whenever you get another chance. Amen. Put something in.
Yes, yes.
And you can take something out.
Jesus. My God.
I am flesh. Mm. I am flesh. You understand that? Mm. I know we, you know, we want to, the truth, you know, we say, well, we're a spirit man in a flesh body. Mm. Our original design is spirit. Mm. And we're taking on flesh. And that's what's more prominent
yeah.
than the spirit man. I guarantee we don't feed that spirit man quite as much as we feed the flesh.
Yes.
Believe me.
Yes.
Because the flesh is more prominent. The flesh is the one that's always crying, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I want to go, I want to come, I want to run. You know, your flesh is the one talking up. The spirit man is like real quiet. Like, oh, dude, you got needs. You know, the spirit man's really had more needs than the flesh man.
Oh, my God.
We had some kids at school, man, they're so needy. I had some classes coming, man. I'm just like all over the place. Oh, Mr. Branch, my computer don't work. It doesn't print. It doesn't do. I'm like, y'all too needy for me. Can you imagine 21 kids calling your name all at the same time?
No.
Oh, I want. Well, that's your flesh, man. Calling out every moment of the day. Want something. Your spirit man can't even get a word in. Can you just take me to prayer?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Wait till I brush my teeth. Wait till I comb my hair. Wait till I wash my face. Wait till I take a shower. Wait till I... Shut up! Mm. I need to hear the spirit man.
Yes.
He's calling too.
Jesus.
Paul said, I'm flesh.
Yes, yes.
So the law is not the problem.
It's good word, sir. Good word.
I'm the problem with my sin issue. Mm-hmm. The law is spiritual. Mm-hmm. I'm not. Mm. Don't fool yourself. I'm spiritual. No, you're not.
My God.
You're flesh.
Yes. Yes.
And you like to think, yeah, I'm real spiritual. You know, I'm into the birds.
Oh, yeah. The trees.
I'm into the ocean noise. You know, I'm so spiritual.
Oh, my God.
I'm real spiritual. Oh, that's too loud.
Oh, Lord.
You're flesh. Mm.
Jesus.
The law is what's spiritual.
Yes. Yes.
Our nature by birth, by virtue, is union with first Adam, the fallen Adam. That's who we're tight with. And you know what? The fleshly nature is hostile. Oh, my time's done. The fleshly nature is hostile toward God. Remember we talked about that last week? Yeah. Our enemy is God. Mm. Oh, when we're God. In the flesh.
Yes.
Because God is going to make us, and you say that word today, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We're not going to be comfortable being in the presence of God if we're really in our flesh. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. We're going to want to put the finger up and go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. We're going to want to put the finger up and go outside and get a smoke. We're going to put the finger up and go do something else. Mm-hmm. We're uncomfortable.
Yes.
Amen.
Jesus.
We're more friendly towards sin when we're in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Mm. Nothing good dwells in the flesh, y'all.
My God.
No good thing in me.
My God.
This nature impairs us.
Yes.
In our ability to comprehend the law of God. Mm-hmm. It impairs us. We can't understand. What does it mean? Mm. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart. Mm. There's no way I can love God with all my heart. I love my car too. I love my iPad. while you're in the flesh.
Jesus.
When that spiritual man takes over, all of a sudden, Mama don't even come into the picture. Papa don't make sense. All of a sudden, you are in the presence of God and nothing else matters. That's how you love him with all your heart.
Hallelujah. Hour
passes by and you don't even know that dinner time went by because you are in
his presence. My God. Oh, in your presence, Lord. Your presence. Oh, God.
But the sinful nature impairs that. Can't comprehend it. You can't see it. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. What this preacher is saying to me today doesn't make sense because I'm in my flesh. Well, I wish he'd shut up so I can go get my Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, my Popeyes.
Oh, Jesus.
The flesh will scream at you. Yes. Why do you think they ran and jumped on Stephen? Their flesh didn't understand what this glory was on his life. The Bible said they raged on him.
Yes.
Stoned a man to death.
Mm-hmm. My God.
That's why when you go out the streets to minister and you're preaching the flesh, that flesh, the first thing they want to do is rage it. Mm-hmm. Shut up. Mm. Call the cops on it. Get this guy off the street. I hate him. Mm. Right? Why? Because you're impaired. Mm-hmm. You're an invalid. Mm. You're enabled to comprehend.
My God.
And that's why you have to pray that the presence of God captivates. Yeah. If you go out there in your flesh, flesh with flesh, you're looking for a fight.
Jesus.
Because you're not going to take it. I'm done.
My God. What a word.
The law of God.
What a word.
Is spiritual. Remember that. Mm. I am flesh.
Yes.
And as long as I'm flesh, I'm going to have conflicts. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have conflicts. Mm. As much as I try.
Where's my hope? My hope is in you, oh God. Jesus.
Why are you praying so much? Because I have conflicts. Mm-hmm. Why do you go to church so much? I have conflicts. Mm-hmm. If I stay out here, I'm going to die in my conflict.
Yes.
If I don't hear a word, I'm going to die in my conflict.
Yes.
If I don't have somebody praying with me, praying for me, and I'm not praying myself, I'm going to die in my conflict.
Oh, my God.
You're reading your Bible so much, I have conflicts.
Yes, God.
I need an understanding.
Yes.
I need to get up out of this.
Yes. God.
I want to be saved. Yes. I want to be saved. Mm-hmm. Would you stand with me?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. My God.
This is how conflicting the flesh is with the spirit. Mm. Imagine that you were stricken with a fatal ailment. It's fatal, meaning you're going to die. You're stricken with this. You got a couple of days to live. You learn that your only hope is a Hispanic doctor or whatever kind of doctor that you're prejudiced against. Mm. And he's the only one that has the cure. But you're prejudiced against. If you could only contact this doctor, you would be saved. You'll be cured. Jesus. But you got problems. Number one, the doctor is too far. He doesn't speak your language. Mm. Most importantly, you're prejudiced against him. Mm. And so you're not willing to accept the cure. Mm. That is the struggle of the flesh. It is going to kill you. Are you listening to me? Mm-hmm. Sin is going to kill you. Mm-hmm. Sin is not playing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't care your age. It doesn't care your stage. Mm-hmm. It's going to kill you. How many young people have we lost already because of sin? Sin plots, its plot and scheme is death. Yes. The wages of sin is death. Yes. That's his game. Okay? Mm-hmm. Bible says we're born in it. Mm-hmm. Born in it. Mm-hmm. We didn't have nothing to do with it. We're just born in it. It's like, you know, I'm born with this genes of, I don't know, some bronchial problems. I'm constantly coughing. I'm born in it. I didn't do anything to get it. It's born in it, right? But there's cures. There's solutions. If you yield yourself, if you're willing. That's so many people, I know Bob Marley, he died because he wasn't willing to yield himself to the cure. Mm-hmm. The cure was to cut off the big toe, and he said, no, he ain't cutting off nothing. Mm-hmm. And so the cancer traveled throughout his body, killed him. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And so it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. I'm not going to give that up. So you let that one thing, that you're not going to give up, go throughout your entire soul and mind and kill you spiritually. You're dead. Because you weren't willing to give that one thing up.
Mm. Jesus.
Oh, my God. If you bow your heads, I don't know where you are spiritually.
Jesus.
But if you see that there really is a problem, and you want to start the journey of overcoming that problem, I just want to invite you to come. We're not going to drag this on anymore, but if somehow God can get a hold of your heart today, and you want to be changed today, you want God to fill you with His Spirit today. Here's what this preacher stopped doing. I stopped. If you don't want it, I ain't forcing it on you. I don't do that. And also people say, oh, okay, I'll make him do it. No, if you don't want it, you ain't going to get it anyway. You got to want it. Amen.
Thank you.
You have to want the gift. You have to want the change.
Jesus.
You have to want the difference. So if you want it today, if you want it today, I'm just going to invite you to come.
God. Oh, God.
Hallelujah. This is not, don't think this is, you know, well, this is the next thing that we're going to do in the service. This has nothing to do with the next thing. This is the thing that we needed to do from the beginning of the service. Let's give you an opportunity to come. Do you want to overcome the conflict? I wish you'd come. Because in coming, you're making a statement to your flesh first, to the devil next, most importantly to God. You're ready for that change. Anybody in this room, before we go, would like to come? Come right now. Don't wait for somebody else to come. You come. You come. You step out of your comfort zone and come right now in the name of Jesus. I surrender all.